Y'all remember those? Let's just have a good time today in the Lord. I know, looking forward to the season we're coming up on as we celebrate Easter, and of course today is Palm Sunday. And I was just thinking this morning as Jesus was entering that city and how they was all glorifying him, putting out the palms, and then in less than a week they was crucifying him. So that's some of the same people that was for him was against him. So this is a very important week in our belief as we. Go through the life of Jesus this week. I encourage you to study something every day about what could have been going on that week, and get in the Gospels and read about what all was going on. So encourage you there. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? I know we mentioned several in our Sunday school class. Do we have any more? Everybody's quiet today. Y'all continue to remember the ones that was mentioned down there. I can't remember all the names, but we did mention several. Of course, all the victims in Jacksonville, Coleman, Alabama. We even had some local here in our county, some in Georgia. Y'all remember those as the storms impacted a lot of people. But thanks be to God, I don't remember a single one that we heard about that lost a life. And so God really, really worked in the middle of that storm. Anybody have one? Before we pray, I want to make an announcement. I'll announce it again at the end of service. We have, a lot that's not here today. We're going to have a lot missing tonight. We've got a group going to watch the movie. I can only imagine the movie will be coming on this season. It'll be playing this evening in Anniston or Oxford. And there's two showings, one at 1 o'clock, one at 3:40. So I think we've decided to go to 3:40. So we'll cancel services tonight. Anybody wanting to go see the movie with us, if you'll be here at 3 o'clock, we'll try to ride together. Try to get that fixed so we can all go see the movie together. I'm looking forward to it. I've seen the previews and know it's going to be good. So remember that. No experience in God lesson tonight. No service tonight. Of course, we'll meet back Wednesday and be ready to go again. But just remember that. So if you show up here at 5 o'clock and nobody's here, come on to Oxford, because we'll be getting out of the movies about then. We'll go eat. So... any other thing before we pray?
Unspoken.
Remember that one. None. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today. Thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for each one that's here this morning. Lord, for the ones that's not, Father, we just ask you to touch them in whatever situation that's hindering them. God, we ask you to, dear Father, just be with the ones that have to work. Lord, and ask you to bless them this morning. And God, these victims, Lord, that's been out in these storms, Lord, we ask that you, Father, just comfort them. Lord, as we know, it's only material goods, and all that can be replaced. We know a lot of people work all their lives for things they lost, but God, you can restore it. Lord, we ask you again to be with us this morning. God, just be in our presence. Lord, let us see you work this morning in your house. And God, we thank you for all you've done in our church. God, what you're going to do. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. And you would take my place. And you would bear my cross. Oh, into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. And you would take my place. And you would bear my cross. You laid down your for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. All that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. is a river of gladness, pours from Emmanuel's veins. Sinner was plunged beneath the flood. Then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I'm destined and tasting your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross. Got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me His pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want
more. Morning again. Good to see everyone out. Looking forward to this morning, as every time we get to stand and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, it's a great day. I'm going to read just a little bit about Palm Sunday. And Jesus is entering into to Jerusalem. This is not the message this morning, but this is a little lead up to it. And Matthew chapter number 21, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 21, it says, and when they draw nigh unto Jerusalem and were coming to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into a village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man shall say unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. As he went in, they was all glorifying him, telling him how great he was and spreading these things on the ground because here come the king. But you notice immediately what he began doing when he went into the temple and began overthrowing the things that wasn't right. And that's when it set in stage for him to get ready to crucify him because he had upset the apple cart. He has upset things that had always been. And I want to tell you today that when Jesus enters into a place, there'll be some changes. When Jesus enters into a person, there'll be some changes. And when he came into the city to start this week off, there definitely began some changes. People who thought they was excited about the king coming wasn't so excited anymore when they saw that it might hinder their welfare. It might hinder their money. It might hinder what they had, the way they're getting over on the people. So he ruffled their feathers. And people today, we talked about in our Sunday school class, people don't mind you talking about God all day long, but the minute you mention Jesus Christ, you have upset them. Because the Bible teaches us there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He's the only light. And that's what we're preaching about today is the light. We're preaching about the light. And I titled this message, Be the Light. I began thinking about light. It seemed like everything I saw last week and even up to this week and everywhere I've studied and everywhere I've looked has been about light. I began thinking about what light is to us and began thinking about how would life be if we didn't have light. The fact of it is life wouldn't be if we didn't have light. We must have light to have life. Now, can you imagine? I can't imagine living in Alaska even where it's dark all that time. And I just can't imagine doing that and how depressing it must be to live without that light and all that. But I want to tell you something. What's even more depressing than that is living a life spiritually without the light. In church, I want to tell you something today. According to the Word of God, you are the light. You are the light. The light that shines in a dark world today is you. You're the ones that's called to make a difference. I'm the one that's called to make a difference. And I'm afraid today that our lights are very dim. I'm afraid that our lights has almost went out because we have no impact in the world any longer because we have kept these lights hid. In Luke chapter number 11, verse number 33 through 36, tells us a very, very simple message. A very simple message. We even have children's songs that have been written after it. And people have sung this song for years of this little light of mine. Just about everybody in here that's ever been to Sunday school or ever been to vacation Bible school can sing this song. That can sing this song. But how what great a message this little song holds. And the scripture says in chapter number 11, verse number 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but could put on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, therefore then the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed thereof that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Father, we thank you today for this word. Father, we thank you for your people that's gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that you touch them in a mighty way. And God, I pray before we leave this place that we'll understand something, that we are called to be the light and we're called to be a difference in this world. And that God, you will use us. And Father, we'll put our light up on a candlestick so people can see it today. Lord, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The light. If you ever turn back to Genesis and read that sometime, Genesis chapter 1, you'll find that in the beginning God, he created something. The Bible says he created the earth. He created the heavens and earth, and he saw something. He saw the earth was dark and without void. And I think it's verse number 3 says he created the first thing. After he created the heavens and earth, he created a light. And he said he spoke light into existence. Now, if you watch a little film that Louis Giglio did, you'll understand a lot more about light and how fast that light moves. And he said that day that God opened his mouth, that light spewed out of his mouth and at all the speeding like it does, and how wonderful it truly must have been when God spoke light into existence. And we use light for everything. I want you to think about this. We do absolutely nothing in the darkness. All we do in the darkness is sleep. We have lights for everything. We have phones today that have lights on them. We don't even have to have a flashlight any longer. We have lights, but you do absolutely no work in the darkness. You don't accomplish anything in the darkness. When you go to work, even if you work night shift, you got lights up so you can see. The firemen here that go on the scene at night, I promise you, they have big lights they carry with them. You know why? Because if you walk in the darkness, you'll trip. And if you live at my house, you walk in the darkness, you can trip over a tea pitcher I did the other night in the bathroom. What in the world was it doing in there? I have no idea. You can trip over these plug-ins that plug into the phone. You can trip over all these things. So if you come to my house and get up in the middle of the night, brother, you better have light. You'll find out quickly why we need light. But we need it all the time. We use it for every single thing. There's nothing you can even think of that we don't have light. Now listen, you realize something, you can measure light. It takes light a certain number of times or seconds or milliseconds or whatever it is to reach a certain place. It's got something you can see. A light is a ray. You can actually break down and you can study a light ray. But think about this, you can absolutely do nothing with darkness. You can't study darkness, you can't accomplish anything in the darkness. You know why? Because the darkness don't even exist. Darkness does not exist. It's not even there. You can hunt all you want to and you can't find where there's an atom of darkness or there's this of darkness or a ray of darkness. It's not that darkness does not exist. The only way you have darkness is the absence of light. It's the only way that you have darkness. And you begin to see in our world that we live in, and we walk around these malls and Walmart and all these places, and you see these people. Now, I don't know their hearts, and I don't know what's inside of them, but according to their outside, it looks like it's very dark. They wear dark clothing. Some of the girls have the dark lipstick and different things on, and I believe it's just showing what may be on the inside. There's a darkness there, and you see absolutely no light at all. And the reason there's not a light there is because Jesus Christ is not in that light. If Jesus Christ is not in the life today, I want to tell you something. There's an absence of light. And when there's absence of light, you have darkness. And that's the problem we have in today's time as people, even God's people, is not seeing something that me and you are called to be the light today. We're called to be a light in a dark world. We live in a dark community. We live in a dark state. We live in a dark nation. We have darkness all around us because there's an absence of light. And the light has come from the absence of God's people not being the light. What I mean through that? What I mean about it? How do I mean we're not the light? It's because we have the light in us if we belong to Him. The Bible says we have to. If we've got the Spirit of God dwelling in us, then we have the light there. The light is available to us, but it told us in that verse, it says, no man, when he light a candle, put it in a secret place. I want to tell you the reason our country is dark and even the reason our communities may be dark is because you have this light abiding in you that is the Spirit of God, but you've got this thing put in a secret place. You don't want nobody to see it. You don't want anybody to know about it because it's not popular today to be a Christian. It's not popular to speak of God's word. It's not popular to tell people that there is a better way. It's not popular to invite people to church and tell them about God's love. That's not the way the world sees popularity today. So because of that, we've taken this light that God has given us and we put it in a secret place. Now, does that make any sense? There's none of us that would put in these fancy LED lights and we'd go back and put a dark black cover over them. That would make a completely bit of sense in the world. We don't. What do? With light? We put it up, don't we? We put it up high so it can give off the most radiance we can get out of it. If you want to take a light bulb and get the most use out of that thing, you place it up high. How many street lights have you ever seen on the ground? Not a one. They're placed up high on that pole so they may give light all around it. And that's what God's calling us today. We need to put our light, our spiritual light, we need to put it on a stand high so people can see it. But church, we have this thing hid. We have put it under a bushel, and we have it hid to a lost and a dying world. And how important it is today that your light shine. How important is it that we let it shine? Now listen, what puts the light in our life? What puts it in our life is the Holy Spirit of God. When you go back to the tabernacle we've been studying in Sunday school, or you go back to Solomon's temple, there was always a light burning when they was in his presence. Always there was a light burning. You know what gave off that light? It was pure olive oil, the Bible says. It was pure oil. And you know what represents oil in the scripture? The Spirit of God. So if your light is to be shining, it must be full of the Spirit of God. You must stay prayed up. You must stay studied up to have that light shining. I promise you something. You'll never find a witness for Jesus Christ who has sin in their life. You'll never find an effective witness for Jesus Christ who has the light hid with a sin. It just won't happen. You cannot give forth light if you're bound down in sin today. It will not happen if you're doing anything you know is not right of God. You know there's something in your life that needs to be gone out of the way. Then you're hiding that light today. And listen, that's your main job in this world after you're saved, is to be a light. To be a light. And every single one of us is called to be that light. I don't care how old you are, or how young you are, or what you look like, or what you go to school, or where you do this, where you do that. If you're God's today, and He saved you, the Spirit of God's dwelling in you, and you're called to be a light. To be a light. I think we get caught up in thinking that I'm the light. I think we get caught up in thinking that people need to see me about how good I am and about how good I can do this and about how good I can do that and about all this stuff. And I was thinking yesterday about how men are. I began thinking about certain things and began thinking about how jealous we are. And how jealous we are of something. Boy, we don't want nobody to be better than we are. We want our team to be best. We want our cars to be best. We want everything we have to be best. And we're just a jealous people. We want the best of everything. And we don't want to see nobody else succeed because truly if they do that, I can't be glorified. And we've come to a place today of where we have become the light. And because we have become the light, we're living in a dark world. And you know where all this comes from? It was given to us at the day that Adam and Eve sinned, that you began studying about Satan. You know why Satan fell? You know why God threw Satan out of heaven? Because he wanted to take over. He wanted to become God. He wanted to be the God. He wanted to do this. And that nature is put into human beings at the time of birth. And without Jesus Christ, that nature will prevail. But when Jesus Christ comes to live, then we have the light. Then we'd be shining through. I said all that to say this today. You're not the light. I'm not the light. Your children's not the light. Even our community is not the light. The light is Jesus Christ. The light is Jesus Christ. But church is going to be a light in the community. And I pray this all the time. I pray it all the time. When I'm here by myself, I pray, God, let us be the light to this community. Let us be a light that people may see. What light is they need to see? They need to see the light of Jesus Christ. You look in John. John chapter number 8, verse 12. Listen to this. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I shall not walk in darkness. Listen, if you belong to him, you shall not walk in darkness. What this is telling us today, that yes, there's times you're going to get out in sin. There's times you're going to mess up or slip up, we call it. That's our little sissy words for sin. There's no such thing as mistakes because of a mistake you make, not knowing it. But a sin you make, and you know when you sin. If you're God's, you have to know when you sin. It's impossible not to. So every single one of us sin, and so are we walking in darkness? No. No, walking in darkness means a lifestyle. If we have a lifestyle of sin, that is continual sin in our lives, then we're walking in darkness, and that should not be in the life of a child of God. I'm not the light. You're not the light. Jesus Christ shining through us is the light. It's impossible to have a light in something and it not show through. It's impossible to have a light in there. Now listen, what's going to happen if you take that light bulb and you put a cover over it? Heat's going to build up. Yeah, heat's going to build up, and eventually, if that thing's plastic, you know what's going to happen? It's going to catch on fire. And when it catches on fire, guess what you have? You have light again. So it's impossible to contain that light. And these people today that say they got saved and say they belong to Jesus Christ, and they're walking in darkness and they're living in darkness, and there's no sign of light of all in them, I got to question that today. That goes against the scripture of God's word. That goes against what God teaches, that if a light is in us, it must shine forth. It must shine forth. Now listen. All of us have ways. All of us have ways for that to shine. What does the Bible say you do? He said you put it on a lampstand. The first is the light. We must have the light. Next, we must have a lampstand. Luke tells us in 11:33, I've already read it. It says, no man, when he lighteth a candle, put it in a secret place, leaveth under a bushel, but he put it on a candlestick. He puts it on a candlestick. I want to ask you a question today. Where's your light? Where's your light today? Have you got to hid under a bushel so nobody can see it? Or have you got it placed up high so everybody can look at it? Have you got it in a place where it's doing what it's called to be? Now the great thing is that all of us have different candlesticks. All of us have, every one of us work in a different place, or all of us attend different functions through the week, or we interact with different people. We come across strangers that I'll never meet. You meet people every day that I'll never meet. I talk to people every day on the phone that I'll never meet even. I talk to people that you'll never talk to. But one thing for certain today, I am called to have a lampstand. I'm called to have a stand to put my light on that people may see it. And guess what? It's not standing up here preaching because very few people is going to see that. My lampstand is what I do when I'm away from here. My lampstand's what I do when I interact with people on a daily basis. When somebody says something that makes me a little bit mad, what do they see? Do they see a light? Do they see something different? Oh, I'm afraid today that so many of us that are Christians even don't have a lampstand. We don't have any way for nobody to see the light. We don't have it anyway. Hey, you say, well, preacher, I'm retired, I'm this and that, and I don't have a chance to be around people. Well, bless your heart, you do have a chance. You go to the grocery store, you go to the doctor, you go somewhere, you have a chance to put this light on a lampstand. And those of y'all that's in school or in college, you have the best opportunity of any of us to be a lampstand because y'all are living in some of the darkest times and around some of the darkest things. I remember before I got saved, I would go to these places that you shouldn't go to, and you know what they was? They was always dark. Has anybody in here ever been inside a saloon or a bar, whatever you want to call it? And I challenge you to tell me this. Have you ever been in one that had LED lights that lit the whole place up? No. You went in those places and they was dark. You know why they was dark? Because light illuminates. And when we thought we was hiding, we thought we was doing something a secret. And every one of them places you would ever go into, you could barely see your hand in front of your face because it was darkness, not just spiritually speaking, but physically speaking, it was dark. Still that way today. These places are dark because they do not want to see any light. And us as God's children, we should have a lampstand. And that thing should be put up high so that people can be seeing it. It should be visible to everyone that we encounter. That he belongs, that I belong to God, that you belong to God. Sadly, it's not happening. I've been around people that talk just any such way. I've been around them that act just any such way. And then when they find out you're a preacher, you go to church, well, they turn a 360 or a 180, whatever you want to say. They completely turn around and begin telling you one other thing. And then according to Scripture, that's not right. It says that we got a lampstand. We're to put it up on that lampstand so all men can see it. So we can see it. If you live where I live, we spend some time in physical darkness for our power company is not the greatest. And when that's done, I'm selfish. I'll take my little lantern or take my little flashlight everywhere I go, and I'll leave the rest of them in darkness. But you see that when they're in darkness, they can't find the way. I've got my light, and I know the way because I've got the light, but them that's in the living room have no light. And it's the same thing that we are doing today. We wonder why people's not getting saved. We wonder why people's not attending churches. We wonder why everything it seems is going wrong. And all it can come back to is God's people is not being the light. They're not putting it on a lampstand. You see, you've got the light. If you belong to him, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have the light. But it's up to you to find the lampstand. It's up to you to ask God to provide a lampstand. To put it on. When you began studying that temple or that tabernacle, you would find out that it had a lampstand in it so they could see what they was doing. Had a lampstand in it, and that lamp, listen, that artificial light, it done something. It represented God in there. It represented that God was in that place and in the darkness of where it don't seem like it could be, that it was illuminated by something else that was brought in there. Your life today should be such as when you walk into a place where people don't know God, it ought to light up. When people see us, they ought to say, there comes a light. They ought to say, it ain't going to be dark here no more, there comes a light. But sadly, we get so burdened down with all this sin we're carrying, with all those things that are on us, we walk into a place and we look like we've lost our best friend, and we look like we hadn't got anything to live for. We act like everything is terrible, and we'll walk up to somebody with a big old frown on our face and say, would you come to my church? They're thinking, no, because I don't want to look like you, because I don't want to be sad like you. I want to tell you something, church, that we have a reason to be excited today. We have a reason to be a light in the world. We're about to come upon a time of year when we preach about, we teach about, and we worship a risen Savior. We worship one that is alive. He's not dead today. He's alive forevermore. Because he's alive forevermore, me and you will live forevermore, and that's something to be excited about. It's something to tell everybody about. But there's people that lead this walks of life. We had a young guy in our community, right below where I work, was killed in an automobile accident this week. And the minute that my boss went down there and he called and told me the name of the company, and he said, there's one man in the vehicle, and said he's laying beside it, and he's dead. The first thing that crossed my mind when he told me the name was, did he see the light in me? Did he see the light in me? I taught this young man several times, but I began to wonder, did he see the light? Did he ever see the light in somebody? Was there ever a time in his life when he saw a difference and knew that person was saved? And I began to come find out later that he'd been attending a church some, so I pray to God that he saw some light. I pray to God that he come to the light, and I pray that he was saved before he left eternity. And you see, but the problem is today, and it's the next point I'm coming to, is the reason we must have a light is because of the lost. Lost. It's something that you see nobody get excited about anymore. You see nobody get tore up about it. When's the last time you saw people praying for lost souls? You don't see it no more. When's the last time you looked at somebody's Bible? I remember looking at them old-timers' Bibles, and the pages on the back where they have some empty spots are full of names they've wrote of lost loved ones. They're full of names they've wrote of lost neighbors, and they've wrote lost neighbors' names and friends' names and co-workers' names. They've wrote in those, and they'd take them before God, and they'd pray over them and cry over them and weep over them. Church, when's the last time you was broken over lost souls? Listen, this thing's not about how many buildings we can build or how many people we can have on our pews or any of that stuff. This thing is about Jesus Christ saving lost souls and them coming to the light through me and you. That's what it's about today. It's not about any of this other stuff. It's about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When you're hiding that light, you're hiding the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You're hiding the most valuable thing in the world. You're hiding the most valuable thing that any man has ever gotten a hold of is eternal life. Now you're hiding that and you're keeping it from a lost soul. You don't know what condition that people in. And those people's in. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care any of this stuff. And when you're hiding that light and you got that light hid, you don't know for certain who you're hiding it from. You may be the one that was to show them the light of Jesus Christ. You may be the one that was to tell them of the gospel of the Lord. You may be the one that separated them from heaven and hell, from coming to know the true light. You may be the one that God was going to use to reach them, and because you have the light hid, they'll forevermore be in darkness. That ought to break our hearts today, but it don't. You know why? Because we've gotten in this little sissified culture of thinking that surely God's not going to condemn anybody to hell. Surely not God's not going to do that. He's too loving. He's too forgiving. And all this, yes, God is loving. God is forgiving. God is love. The Bible says he's love and he's light and he's all these great things. And may I tell you something also, that he's a just God. And because he's a just God, he cannot accept sin in his presence. And anybody that is not saved today will not be there today. They will not be in heaven forevermore. They will not be with the Lord. They'll be eternally separated from God. And I tell you what, there's going to be many Christians there standing before God in that day that's going to see some things. The Bible says we'll see all of our life brought before us. There's going to be people that's going to be brought up to your remembrance standing there before Jesus that you didn't show the light to and you didn't pray for. And you weren't concerned about. Hey, I'm guilty myself. I encounter them every day. And because I'm afraid of a little bit of making fun of or a little bit of poking or prodding, we're scared to tell them about Jesus Christ. We're scared to tell them about him. We need to be more like these old timers. I knew one in Carrollton that I heard a guy talk about. He said he didn't care if you was a preacher, a teacher, whatever you was. The first time this brother met you, he had one word for you, or a few words for you, three words for you, Keith. Are you saved? He'd ask every person he encountered, are you saved? Jonathan's granddad witnessed everybody he come in contact with. It didn't matter who you was. He didn't know you and didn't know you and didn't know the testimony of your life. He would want to know if you were saved. That's the first thing you want to know. You know why? He had a grasp of something me and you don't have. That's the most important thing in life. It's not about your job. It's not about your career. Not even about who you're going to marry or any of that stuff don't matter. What matters is that lost souls see the way. And they can't see. They can't see without light. They can't see. They are blind. They're completely blind. I see people that's older than me, and I see the way they live, and I begin thinking, how in the world has these people made it this many years without God? Have they made it this long not knowing the way? And all you can do is go back to the scripture, and it says, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. That's Satan. He has blinded them to thinking that what me and you are doing today is foolishness. They're thinking it's foolishness to serve a God. They think it's foolishness to come and worship a risen Savior. They think it's foolishness to come here and preach about a man who's been gone 2,000 years. They think it's complete foolishness. They see no need in it. And the reason they see that is because they have not been illuminated yet. It's not been brought to their sight of how they are. Those of y'all that's never been any type blind, I've never been fully blind. Although we was talking a little bit last night about eyes when we was eating supper, and this one girl, I don't know what she was thinking. Y'all just got to know her. She said, well, are you blind in both eyes? I said, there thing that she just followed me all the way to Backwoods. I said, you didn't even think about what you said. But I've been blind in one eye for about 10 years. Well, no, longer than that. I've been blind in one eye since 2000. About 18 years I've been blind in one eye. But guess what? I have sight in this eye. I can close this eye and I can't see much. But when I open this one, I can see glorious things. I can see all that God's created. I think God may have given no, he knew what I was going to be. I wasn't a preacher or a pastor at that time, but I knew God's going to need, he knew what I was going to be. And knew that would be a great analogy. I can close one eye and I can see a lost world. I can open the other one, I can see a saved people. It's because without God's light in our life, then simply there is no light. Church, it's time to be the light. You've been given. I've said it once, I'm going to say it again. Each one of you, if you belong to God, you've been given the biggest responsibility. You got a bigger responsibility than Donald Trump. You got a bigger responsibility than any president of any nation in our land. You got a bigger responsibility than the governor of Alabama or anything you want to put there. There's nobody that has a bigger responsibility than you have. And listen, even this, hey, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you hold one of the highest callings in the land. If you're a preacher, you hold one of the highest callings in the land. If you're a Bible school teacher, you hold one of the highest callings in the land. It's proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no greater a job on the world than this. But listen, all this other stuff is going to pass away. You can be all this thing. You can come up with a great business. You can have millions and millions of dollars. But may I tell you, it's going to pass away. It's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. People's going to fight over it when you die. But if you are proclaiming the glorious gospel of Christ and people are being saved, you'll be having eternal treasure. Or moth can't eat it up. Or rust can't corrode it. The most important job in the world is what you do with the message of Jesus Christ. What you do with it. You've been given the same task that light bulb has. To light darkness. You see, we don't think much about a light bulb. Can you imagine the first light bulb that people in our little communities ever saw? I've got my granddad's first power bill. My daddy's first power bill. He lived just down the road from where I live now. It was Route 1, Alabama. They didn't have no 911 things because they didn't have no emergency vehicles, probably. But they had this thing, and they got power in 1945. That's when Pat was about 10. They got power. Pat still remembers it, the first light bulb. But they got power, and you know how much the first power bill was? $1. And the reason it was $1 is because my daddy talked about it, my uncles talked about it. They had one light bulb in the whole house. And when they would want to go to another room, they would have to move that. And many of the other rooms didn't have a fixture in it. They had the one light bulb. But can you imagine how that changed lives when light come around? You know the reason all these old-timers went to bed early? Because it got dark. There was nothing else to do. All they had was candles. But when the light bulb come around, it changed our nation forever. Probably one of the greatest things ever happened was electricity outside of the vehicle. Think about this. How great would this world be if every Christian was like that light bulb? You see, that light bulb, it knows one job. It shines. And when that power is put to it, it has no choice but to shine. The only way it can't shine is when the filament bursts. And it's no good any longer. But as long as there's power to it, as long as everything is right with it, and it's alive, so to speak, it gives forth light. So why in the world today do we have all these millions and billions of Christians? And in the United States of America, I think like 600 million Christians or something that's proclaimed to be Christians throughout our country. So why is it that we live in a dark place? Why is it that so many people are addicted to drugs and different things and they see no way? And suicide's one of the biggest killers we have in the world. And why is this today? I tell you, the only thing that makes sense to me is that the light is not shining. The power's on. You belong to God, the power's on, brother. But you ain't flipped the switch. The light is not shining. How do we share the gospel? I told someone in our Sunday school class, I went to an evangelistic revival Monday night. Boy, it fired me up. This man's been teaching his people about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And you know what's happened? His church has blossomed. It's no secret program. It's no wannas. It's none of this other thing. It's none of this fancy stuff a smart Baptist has come up with. He's simply been teaching his people. If folks is going to be saved, you got to tell them about Jesus Christ. And that goes back to basics. Now, that's where we fell off the boat at, y'all. And we quit telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And so how are we to reach them? Yes, it comes through our actions. Much of it does. But it takes words. It takes speech. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. You know the number one fear of all people throughout all the United States of America. I don't know about other countries, but through our whole country. Do you know the number one fear? Public speaking or speaking to strangers. You get somebody up in the public, brother, and they start sweating. I do it. You get somebody in front of people, and we immediately begin having anxiety attacks. We can't do that. We're not going to do it. There's no way I'm going to speak. And I know all about this. That was one of my greatest fears outside of heights. That's why the Lord made me short. He fixed that problem. Our greatest fears, ahead of snakes, ahead of spiders, ahead of falling, ahead of heights, or claustrophobia, or any of this stuff, there's no other greater fear when people are questioned than the fear of public speaking. How many of y'all, when you're in school, would soon take a zero as you would give a report in front of people? Most of us would. I still don't like going to a drive-thru. I don't like speaking to somebody I don't know. That's just the way I am. I have to struggle with that. I fight with it. And God give me the best wife he could give for that because she could talk to a stop sign. He fixed it. Listen, our biggest fear. Does it seem any consequence to you that when we realize that our flesh was ruined by Satan in the Garden of Eden, and so our flesh become marred, our flesh become just a terrible mess. We've had sinful desires after that. We become all about ourselves after that. And our speech. That's our number one fear is our speech. And I have no doubt that this thing is put there by Satan. The reason it is because it's by telling other people about Jesus Christ that people come to be saved. And our number one fear in our whole nation or our whole world probably is public speaking. Does that not make sense to you today? If you were Satan and you wanted to keep the message of Jesus Christ from reaching a lost and dying world, what would be the fear you would give people? It would be the fear of speaking, wouldn't it? The fear of speaking. But oh, we'll tell them about how great Alabama football is. We'll be in a stranger full of people, and you'll see somebody with a big old A on their shirt, and I have it happen to me all the time, even in over there in Georgia, and I was somewhere the other day, didn't think, in Tallapoosa, and I had on a Crimson Tide hoodie, and one guy come up, Roll Tide. You can go all over the world. I've been to out west, and you have an Alabama shirt on, somebody say, Roll Tide. But on a cruise ship one time, little guy from Filipinos, I know what he's trying to do, he's trying to get a tip. But he come up and he said in his best speech he could say was Roll Tide. Boy, we don't have a problem about telling about that. Or some of y'all like them old Tigers. We ain't got a problem with that, some of y'all. I'll pray for you. We don't have a problem with telling everybody about who our teams are, who our favorite person is. Or boy, we can talk about the weather all day long. Why can't we tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ? Why are we so afraid to tell them? It's because somewhere down the line, somewhere this started, I don't know where it was, but somewhere it started. Boy, they'll laugh at you if you do that. They'll laugh at you. If you start telling them about Jesus Christ, they're going to think you're a weirdo. They're going to think you're one of them freaks. They're going to think you're one of them people who don't love him. You know what the meaning of a Jesus freak is? Somebody who loves him more than you do. That's the meaning. Church, it's time that we begin telling the lost world about him. To wrap this whole thing up, it simply goes back to that verse in Corinthians. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You're not hiding it from your neighbor that knows Jesus. You're not hiding it from the one down here that you don't matter. You think surely they know the Lord of this. Just remember, if that gospel's hid in your life, is hid to them that are lost. You may be the only one that could reach them. You may be the only one that ever has a chance to tell them about the Lord. You may be the only one that they'll listen to. You may be the only one that could invite them to church and them come and hear somebody preach or a song or hear something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be the one. I challenge you this week. We're coming up on a week when people will come to church. People will come to church on Christmas and Easter that usually won't come in the doors. They'll come at this time. I challenge you this week. Invite somebody. Tell somebody about the love of Jesus. If you don't want to tell them, if you'll just invite them here, we'll tell them. If you'll just invite them to come, they're going to hear a song. They're going to hear the message of Jesus Christ preached. They're going to hear the gospel in this place. They're going to hear it taught on Wednesday nights. They're going to hear it taught about when we're around one another. If you get them in this place, I promise you something, they will hear the gospel. If you can't tell them about him, will you at least invite them? Will you at least bring them somewhere to where somebody that can? You at least show them away. You know what? When you invite them to church, they see something. They see you care. They see you concerned. There's people in our land. Somebody mentioned something this morning about someone, even in Heflin, that's there every morning at a certain place that's not in church. They don't go to church and may get mad at you if you mention about it. That's on them. You be the light you to be, and God will take care of the rest. Where's your light? Where's your light this morning? Is it hid? Is it in a secret place? Are there people you come in contact with that don't even know you're a Christian? Are there people that you contact every week that have no idea that you belong to the Lord? They have no idea who the Lord of your life is. And I want to tell you the reason that is. Because he's not very important to you. He's not very important to you. How can you prove it? Goes back to this thing I've said, and I love sports. I probably watch as much football as anybody in here. I'm guilty. It comes back to what's important to me. I put it on my chest. I put it on my car. I'll even put a sticker on a $40,000 truck about my great team. I've saw them. Pickups of King Ranch F-150s that have to cost $60,000. People have a big A or AU mounted right on the tailgate of them. But boy, we ain't about to tell them about Jesus Christ. He's not that important. He's not that important to us. Let me tell you something. It's time that he got important. There's a world that's lost and dying and going to hell because me and you have a bushel put over our light. Tripping out. Tripping every day into outer darkness. Can't find a way because nobody's turned the light on. As we stand today and as we come forth and play, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be the light. You may be here this morning. You may not have a light. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in a dark place. You cannot shine a light because there's not a bit of light in you. You don't know the light. But if you're here and you've asked him to be your Savior, you have a great light dwelling inside of you. You have a great light just waiting to be shown out to a lost and dying world. You may be the one. You may be the one that can reach the person who would start a great revival in our land. You read about any of these great evangelists that started revivals throughout the whole world, every single one of them heard the gospel from some individual. Most of the time, it was an individual witness on a street corner, an individual witness in a store, or somebody simply telling them about the love of Jesus and about his offer of salvation for every soul. It starts with one little light, and it goes throughout the whole land. How's your light this morning? Where is your light? As she plays, you need to come forth this morning. If you're in this place, you need to know him, the free pardon of sin. We'll do our best through the word of God to show you the light and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be saved. It's not too late. I don't care what you've done or what you're involved in or any of this stuff. It's not too late for him to clean you up and to set you right and to give you a light as she plays.